Thank you, Father, through thy truth, thy word is true. Amen. Our text is from John 6:66-69. Now, for this, many of his disciples through God that no longer want to abide with him. Jesus said to the crowd, do you also wish to go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word and eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is our text. The gospel, which is read to you before, showing the feeding of the 5,000, several times in the gospel of the New Testament, is very familiar with you. It is one of those lessons that encourages you in the standard reading for the year, and it is one that is in almost all schools, a six-year study. And we know its lessons inside you are. The lesson in Matthew is essentially the same as the one in John. It is an account of the same event. And today we want to look at not the lesson itself, but the lesson we learn from the sequel to Jesus' great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. After Jesus fed the 5,000, hardly had the crowd gathered up to his crowd basket and brought them down, and the people began to flock around Jesus, keeping their excitement to take him by force and to make him their king. So Jesus withdrew from them. And he actually went to the other side of the Lake of Gennesaret, into the hills for a night of fellowship with his Heavenly Father. The disciples followed by birth, and in the morning the crowds also came. Hundreds of them following again and seeking to make Jesus their king. Now Jesus spoke to them, and he gave them a sermon and said, I am the bread of life. And this was the great disturbance. So the effect of this miracle was not like that which is supposed to be according to St. John, that you might believe and believe in me have eternal life. But it was simply a cry for a king who could do miracles, and who could just provide ample for the daily needs of the people. And Jesus must have been very disappointed. And he said, I came to bring you something much greater. I came to bring you eternal life. I am the bread of life. And then he speaks after this word that perishes. It all came to a climax finally, because in all of this commotion, the disciples were disputing among themselves as Jesus was speaking. And they were saying, among other things, murmuring, because he said, I am the bread of life, come down from heaven. And if it is not just the son of Joseph, his brothers were there, and his mother was also there, and others were grumbling and saying, and they were dispute, how can this man give up his flesh to eat? And others were, this is a difficult, hard saying, you can't listen to this. And finally, in our text, in the first verse of the text, it states that after this, many of his disciples drew back, and they no longer walked about with him. Now, isn't that even so also today? Like the Roman who sat the good life, so to speak, always talking about the quality of life in terms of things that they could have, starting when their countries came back in foreign countries, parliaments, defenses that were deprived, you know, bread and services. And so it is also in our day that people look after the gift rather than looking to the great giver. And so many of our teachers, when they see a congregation dwindling, or they see people saying this is a hard thing, who's going to preach this gospel in this day and age when people are looking for social justice, when they are looking for become the rulers and take over the control of the land. He said he can redistribute the wealth of one on that of what prior Christians really think in that way to some of these countries as some of our own religions behind the earth, even though we will not be permitted to distribute it. That it was given to the government there, which gave out Jesus the first army. And instead of doing the gospel, as we say in this way, we probably are feeding the crocodile in one person's head. In the movie and the poor all the day, and the Christians do this after that. But the present thing is that we keep this. Even in our ministry, it's a popularity, because we have a big congregation, that we are a so-called success in the world, and now the third revolution is born and sees in the name of Christ, we are doing the same thing these people are doing. This is a hard thing to come here. We are not following, even as ministers, in what we do our things to our hearts, the word that we will keep in spirit. The kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto me. God can't provide all of them, and when He sent His 70 out into the mission work and to obtain the gospel, then He could show them and say, and He just said to them, ask you anything, and He said, no, no. All those needs are taken care of. But we have a much greater thing to do, and this is what they said. And so what is the picture that we see? Jesus does not divorce from his mission. His whole congregation, all the 5,000, moves away, and he wants to use in this mind to understand that this is God apostle alone. And he doesn't put wrong, he doesn't flatter them, he simply asks this question. Will you also be a witness? Now, having seen the circumstances that caused him to ask this question, we should also look at briefly what is the disciples' answer to this question. Then Peter answers for us. Then, to whom shall we go? Where shall we go in our day of peace and hope? Shall we go to God? Shall we really see this so-called good, good lives in this world? Pursuing happiness, chasing after rainbows, is that why we are here? And will it really satisfy us this bread? That's like the bread that Jesus is receiving in the desert. The man up to the people, but they are dead. He said, but the bread that I am going to give you will give you eternal life. This bread. And the needs and material wants, they don't satisfy them. Furthermore, how can they have? To whom shall we go? Supposing some permanent ruin, trying to enter into a person's life or his family, how much will all the millions that he may have? Or if he is confronted with death, what will $10 million be in this hour? Now then, he comes to what he says, thou hast the word of eternal life. And I knew you one time, you go and you call on the sick, and you bring them the same things, and you wish you could help them, and you wish you could give them some material encouragement, that God's going to do some kind of miracle for them. And this old pious man, he belonged to the sick all his life, lying on his deathbed, and I said to him, well, I have nothing to do with you except God's word. And he was a believer, and he said, that's enough, Pastor. That's what St. Peter is talking about. Thou hast the word of eternal life. And notice he doesn't say the word of eternal life. It is true, Christ is that word. And he is the gospel, he is the heart of the gospel, he is the word of God incarnate. And what he presents himself to us also in the sacrament. We are to look upon him as a fulfillment of all of God's proclamations and of his words and promises. But he is saying also the word that you are dealing with. by the words that are recorded in Scripture, the words that He told us. They are spirit, He says, and they are life. And these, says Peter, are the greatest treasure of all. What are some of those words? Because I live, you shall live also. Come to me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you peace. All of these precious words, they are promises of Christ that will be fulfilled, and He shall recognize God. And this brings you then to claim, thou hast the words of eternal life, the men have, and the words of the King James. And we believe in thy spirit that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is your delusion today and doubting tomorrow. He does not glorify a philosophical approach that we do with man-made question marks and say that the greatest speakers are all skeptics and so forth. This is a simple, childlike faith. It is the unhesitating, unequivocal conviction that in and through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is given to every one of us who lives on His knees, the undying love and the unending mercy of a forgiving church. It is a prayer faith, it is a conviction that also saw these apostles through the resurrection of Christ and to proclaim it with confidence again. That message, that Christ, those words of eternal life, and may that also be our faith. Amen. Keep of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.